feel very thankful to be asked to come back and encourage you and share God's word with you this morning. And I'm excited that you're in this series on BLESS. This is one of those wonderful acronyms that was developed within the Covenant Church, and it's exciting how it's being used as a launch pad of identity and what New City is about. So I'm really thankful for that. Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Oh Lord, we just thank and praise you for this day. God, thank you for the sunshine, which we get to see and be reminded of spring coming and new life and hopefully warmth and all those things that we're looking forward to. God, thank you that we have eyes to see and ears to hear of the joy of life around us found in our children and in each other and the connections that are happening in this building. God, thank you for your body, which is represented by people, which is your church. Lord, as we come to your word and learn from you how to serve and learn how you did it, God, may we more and more lay aside our selfishness. May we lay aside maybe our awkwardness or the things that might keep us from serving well. God, help us to know what we are called to do and what we are not called to do. Lord, teach us about boundaries and teach us about also being available and maybe being more willing with our hearts and our minds and our bodies engaged. God, I pray that as everybody here, myself included, learns more from you, God, may you change us. And as we have opportunities happen this week even, Lord, help us to just get excited about what you're doing in our lives and how you are going to give us opportunities each day and in each moment. And may we be obedient to you and follow you, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple things. As we start with BLESS, it sounds like you have started with B, with begin with prayer, and then L, listen with care. E, eating together, we do that well, don't we? And then today it's serve, serving with love. I modified the template that we have. We actually had a really nice template given to us as pastors for this, and I modified it. And first of all, I said we need to start with T. L-C, you can do the next slide. And I think about this, when we serve, anybody can serve. You know, secular organizations do a lot with service. Like, service is a big deal in our world right now. That's like a buzzword, you know. I have friends where they get time off from their jobs to go and serve corporately in their corporate culture. You know, that's like something they want us to do. There's something important that happens when we serve, and we usually get something back. We're not only giving, but we get something back in return. So it's a win-win. So companies are encouraging their employees to do this, even giving them days off to do it. But I think we have to do more than just show up and help and give. We have to do it with love. And when you think about when we serve with tender, loving care, and it comes from Jesus's love, it is multiplied. And Jesus shows us again and again and again throughout Scripture how he makes more when we give to him what we have. You know, we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000, which kind of comes on the heels of this story we find in the book of Matthew. He fed 4,000, 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and some fish. Jesus always does more when we offer him what we have. And we see this in this story. So first thing we're going to start out with is our gospel reading. And it's in Mark chapter 7. And it's interesting, this story is only recorded in the Gospel of Mark. It's alluded to in the Gospel of Matthew. It kind of gets smushed in with a bunch of other healings and stories in the book of Matthew. But in Mark, it's very specific. And, you know, when I was looking at the text for this morning, I thought, this is one of those Bible stories that I always feel a little uncomfortable with. It makes me feel a little squirmy. And I think you'll know why as we read together. But if you've got your Bible or your Bible app, turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And I believe we have it on the screen, probably. Yes, I'm seeing nodding, yes. So it's this, Jesus heals a deaf and a mute man. It says, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. Now, I was looking in my commentary and it noted something kind of funny, that Jesus went a very circuitous route when he went on his way. He had, in just the previous You know, it always says then. There's something else that had happened. Jesus had healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter who had a demon in her. And it's this exchange of her begging Jesus, him saying, I've only sent to the last sheep of Israel. And then she compares herself as a Greek to dogs and saying, isn't it right that even children's bread gets tossed to the dogs? And this woman, her daughter, is healed. And so we have this story happening. So Jesus is in this region of Tyre. And it says he goes down to Sidon, then down to the Sea of Galilee, and then to the Decapolis. And when I was looking at the geography of it, it doesn't make any sense because it is all over the place. So Jesus went to a lot of different places, and he went out of his way. And there were some people, we don't know who the people are, but they brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Now, this is where I always get squirmy. I just get cringy when I read this because I just think about, like, first of all, I would never go up to anybody and stick my fingers in their ears. That would just be, like, the weirdest thing you can imagine doing. And he did. He goes up to the man, puts his fingers in his ears. Those of you that are physicians or medical people, I'm sure this is more normative, but for most of us, nope. Okay, even our medical people are saying nope. You know, maybe with like a scope, you know, that's, but even that, I'm always like, part of me wants to look, you know, Andrew just had an ear infection. Part of me, like, I want to see, but then like, no, I don't really want to see. I don't want to know what's going on there. Sticks his fingers in his ears. And then it says, then, this is where it goes even farther, Jesus spits, and he touches the man's tongue. Now, I wonder what this man was thinking in this moment. We don't have his reaction, but first of all, I know what mine would be. Ah, what are you doing? But Jesus does this. When I was doing a deep dive again into the commentary, and then I just kept going, apparently in ancient culture, in ancient tradition, some of these were like almost like old wives' tales, you know, of like, like syrup of Ipecac, you know, they give that to you, and or, you know, you get gum in your hair, and then all of a sudden you've got peanut butter all over your head and stuff like this. So it seemed that some of this was normative. People would use spit for all kinds of things. Nowadays, especially with COVID, no thank you. We wouldn't be healing this way. But this is what Jesus does. And so he does this deeply personal thing. Fingers in the ears, spit, grabs his tongue. I wonder if that surprised him too. And then Jesus looks up to heaven and he gives this deep sigh. It's very demonstrative of looking up to heaven, obviously pointing to the Father. God the Father is doing this and Jesus is asking him and giving him credit. And he sighs, and I wonder what was in that deep sigh, this big sigh. And he says, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And at this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Now, I don't know, have any of you ever seen a miracle, like a straight-out miracle happen? You have. Ooh, Lucas, we got to talk. I want to hear about this. Let's talk after church. But, you know, when you see this, first of all, can hear, tongue loosened, and begins to talk plainly. My goodness, Jesus stopped the show. And then it says again, this seems like it sums up when how Jesus does things. He says, don't tell anyone. Again, it comes back to don't tell anyone. How can you? How can you not? You have this man who couldn't talk, couldn't hear. He's talking plainly. Clearly something has happened. But the more Jesus said don't talk, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. And this is what they said. He has done everything well. And again, I'm reading from the New International Version. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And we stop there. And I want you to think about a couple things. And this is, again, some reflections I have from the commentary. All the accounts of Jesus' miracles point us to something deeper than restoring a single human body. You know, Jesus came and he restored and he healed completely. And so you think of this dear man. I think how he couldn't hear, he couldn't speak, and how frustrating and limited his life had been. And Jesus comes and frees him. And he frees him with the power of God. It's not just like he's, you know, medically, you know, he has this medical, like, oh, everything's better. But it's Jesus. And so we have that, and this points to the very heart of Jesus' mission. And think about this, in Tyre, he moved up through Sidon and then traveled southeast to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee into the area called Decapolis, which is simply for the Greek 10 cities. And it's a very roundabout way. But it takes Jesus intentionally into the paths of people he wouldn't have normally met and seen. And that's very important. And we note, too, that Jesus treated this man as an individual. Did you catch here how it says, Jesus took him aside away from the crowds? It's like those one of those ones where we read it and we might miss it, but Jesus cared about his dignity. He cared about this man as an individual. He didn't just do this like big show, like, here, come up in front of everybody. He took him aside, and he took time for him, and he served him in a very intentional way. And he does these bizarre actions. It's pretty amazing. And I'm sure it was nothing that this man had ever had happen to him before. I bet this man had had all kinds of medical attempts to free him and restore him. But he probably never had that happen. And he speaks this powerful word, ephpha. I don't even know if I say it right. It's one of those words that Mark has preserved in the original language. And this is important when we see these words. It's a Hebrew word rather than the lay speech Aramaic. And it says, perhaps Mark records this to make the story more vivid, but it occurs to this commentator, this is in the Ransom for Many commentary, that ephpha could be a very easy word for this man to lip read. Perhaps Mark is underlining that the point of this little drama is for the man's understanding. He explains to us that the word means be opened. What our own limited English language cannot convey is that Jesus is not just addressing this command to the man's ears. This command is singular. It is addressed to the man himself. His whole person is opened up to the healing power of Jesus. It's not just this and this. It's everything. So, of course, this is what's happened. The word is spoken, the healing's done, and the man's life is restored. A man who probably could not have supported himself. You think about how those in our world who are at the most risk is children and elderly, but then it's the marginalized who can't support themselves through either mental illness, physical illness, whatever it is. And then suddenly now, he can connect also with the outside world, restoration. And of course, he has a great deal to say, from being can't talk to won't stop. Jesus is not just about restoring just those physical things. He restored this whole man's life in every way. And it's such a powerful story of healing, and also how that Jesus shows up and we get to see more of who Jesus is. You know, Jesus said he came to serve. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. And he intervenes in people's lives in very wonderful ways. And we get this beautiful account in the gospel of also how Jesus cares so much for the individual. And I hope that you come away from the story knowing how Jesus cares for you too. And he sees you. He addresses us all individually and collectively. And I feel like as we come to this, it's also wondering what parts of us today need to be opened and healed and restored in complete ways. And I offer that to you this morning as we come to this gospel text. So I keep thinking about this, of how do we serve like Jesus? I don't know that this is literally like Jesus is wanting you to go to people now and spit on your fingers, touch their tongues, stick their finger. You know, I don't know if we're supposed to do that. If Jesus calls you to do that, you know, pray about it. Maybe ask somebody. check in, you know, do some consult. But there's some really wonderful instruction in this of how we are to serve and how we serve with love. And so I think about and this is where I've tweaked this talk, is we first start with our posture. Now, let's just take a moment. I want you to all sit up as well as you can. You know, sit. I know, like, I teach breath work and breathing techniques as a therapist. And when I do a mindfulness class every week, we always start with our posture. And you think about our posture is very important because we want to sit with a dignified posture. We don't want to sit too, you know, stiffly, or we don't want to slouch. Now, give me your best slouch. I think as we get older, we just become slouches in general as we get older. You know, I feel like we have to fight for our posture. You know, as you look at us, we go more and more like this. But I feel like as we look at this scripture and we look at scripture as a whole, God is not just saying start with standing up straight in front of people. He says start with the posture of your heart. Start with your attitude. Start with how do you approach, first of all, God. How do you approach people? I found a wonderful, I wanted to share something with you. It's called Our Heart Posture. It's by Donna Mitchell. And this is a really interesting reflection. She said, she quotes this conversation, "What's the key thing you have learned in reaching out to societies marginalized?" And I think all of us at any point could be someone that's marginalized. It's people that are on the outsides or people that are needing the most help. And this person said, posture. And the answer surprised this person, it's explained, because she said, "The posture I'm referring to isn't physical posture, the straighten your back or lift up your chin." I know my mom would always whack me on the back and say, "Stand up straight," you know, so I've been like, I've had this in the back of my head all my life. What is meant is the inner attitude of your heart and your mind. And she says, this is why spiritual posture is vital. Posture has become so vital for service organizations. She said, every time we orient new volunteers, we explain that our posture before God and each other and the people that we reach out to serve is of utmost importance, because it alone, our posture and our attitude, has the power to change people. You think about that. If you go into a place to serve, and first of all, you're an absolute jerk, well, that won't be good. They're like, "You don't come back again. Yeah, maybe you beg some food, but you were terrible. Don't come back." So you think about, first of all, our posture shows up in what we do on the outside. But it's also our intentions. She said that the posture of volunteer workers need to involve teamwork, serving each other, deferring to one another, loving one another. So it's also how we interact as a team. When we show up faithfully and fully engaged, committing to be the best teammate that we can be. Our posture before those we are seeking to reach is also paramount. People who are socially marginalized, in distress or pain, or in a powerless situation, or have lost hope are very sensitive to our approach. And people who are in pain sense a condescending or arrogant attitude. So again, it has to come from a heart that's full of love. And really full of Jesus' posture towards others. And we see this in the story so well. We have to consistently remind ourselves that those struggling with addiction, maybe those who have had loss through death or divorce or loneliness or in long-term care or in prison or immigrants or refugees or people who feel like they don't belong or are incarcerated, all remind us that as Christ followers, we are powerless to produce aha moments, to change hearts, to heal, to deliver, to set free, or to really give hope. But God can. And as we represent him well, we show up with his power, with the Holy Spirit, with his love, and that is where change happens. But again, it starts with what we bring to the table and our attitude and our posture and how we serve. This person also says that we believe this is true for all Christ followers. But it's magnified in volunteer service. Our posture makes all the difference. We have to remember who God is and realize his power to change us in the world. And we should remember who we are and who we are not. We are his servants. We represent him. And so how we carry ourselves, how we to check our own heart of like, what am I bringing into this? And is it because of Jesus or is it because of something else? Is it obligation? If it's obligation, I would check that at the door and say, you know what, maybe today is not the day for me, and I need to go back and have some talks with the Lord about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. But we get the example to do this from Philippians chapter 2 in our posture, and it's where we imitate Christ's humility. This in Philippians chapter 2, and I think I have this on my slides, this was an early creed of the church. And they said this often, and I think this is one of those ones, if you want to memorize this, to think about your own posture and how you imitate Jesus' posture, which started, first of all, with humility and love. In verse 2 of Philippians 2, it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ," again, that teamwork, we are on a team with Jesus, "if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." It comes back to posture. Is your posture selfishness, or is it vanity? Is it thinking that you're better than another? Rather, in humility, then, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Again, what is your motive? What's your MO? Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then we keep coming back to then, what is your posture? And I found a funny picture. I hope we're not doing that, because that's not going to be good for your back, by the way, or your neck, or anything in that matter. But you just keep thinking about, maybe this will make you laugh this week, but just think about, what is my posture as I serve in Jesus' name? What is my posture as I serve my family? You know, that's the first people that God gives us an opportunity every day to serve. What is my posture as I serve my coworkers in my workplace? What is my posture? You know, I was thinking about our younger friends here, children and teenagers. When you're at school, you get a chance to serve your friends and your teachers, even if it's hard. What is your heart attitude towards serving in general? Is it like, oh, I don't have time for this? Or is it, God, I know you're going to give me the time that you want me to take, and understand that. So some takeaways I hope we you think about this morning is not only your posture, but also proximity. We see in this story where Jesus took a roundabout way, and he was sent. He was sent to some specific people, and they weren't the usual people. So you think about, God has either sent you to the people you are to serve, or he is going to send you to the people you are to serve. And so just be anticipating in your own heart posture of, God, I'm going to be ready for you. I'm going to eagerly await who you are going to either put in my path today to serve, or knowing that you have somebody in mind for me to serve, and I'm going to be eagerly waiting and watching to see who that's going to be. So pay attention to that proximity. The next one is perceptively, and that's where we also seek to understand. When we come to people, you know, we want to seek to understand and to learn, and not just to think that we have the whole story. And so find out people's stories as you serve them. Find out what's important to them. Find out who they are. You know, I wonder too, when Jesus took this man aside privately, what did he do? What did he say? How did he interact with this man? But he sought to understand. Also, this man had some really good friends that brought him to Jesus, who knew that Jesus could help him. And then we do it personally. Whoever we're called to serve, when we need to feel with them, whoever we're called to serve, we need to feel with them and share empathy. I feel like that's that beautiful moment with Jesus when he does that deep sigh. I think it's a sigh of compassion, of him understanding in his humanity, identifying in his humanity, and then be opened. You think about, as we serve with people, empathize with them. Wonder what it's like to be in their shoes, just as they would wonder maybe what it's like to be in our shoes. Empathy is a two-way street, and it's so powerful. And then powerfully, pray and ask God to do what only he can do. You know, as we serve, you can serve from your own strength, but you know what? I know how mine goes. My own strength has a limit and an end. And so when you serve out of the strength and the power that Jesus Christ is going to give you through the Holy Spirit, it is going to be a loaves and fishes moment where God shows up and he does more than what you could ever imagine. And very lastly, I want to encourage you to serve with reciprocity. I think that's the most important thing is, yeah, sometimes we're like, oh, I can give and give and give, but then to give, to be allowed to be served back, that requires us to check our humility. Do we think that we're above being served? If you do, I have a message for you. At some point, you will have no choice, and you will be served, whether you like it or not. And that's usually when we're older and we're being humbled or something happens to us that's outside of our choice. And so it's also to be anticipating and be waiting for, God, how am I also going to allow myself to be served and to be cared for? I just wanted to just conclude today with this. This was very timely for me to preach on y'all this week, because in the last 8 weeks, my father and mother-in-law have just really had some incredible health challenges. And I've seen my mother-in-law serve my father-in-law in just extraordinary ways. My father-in-law got COVID, then had to go into a care center, and now we're moving into a memory care unit on Tuesday, and it's just been a really, really difficult month. And I've seen my husband serve his parents in just beautiful ways that have, I could just blubber and weep in front of you all. And so I've seen this beautiful act of service that has been beautiful and hard. And I think when we serve in Jesus' name, he calls us to do things that might be hard and it might press our bandwidth. But when we do it from his strength and his power and his grace, it is so beautiful. So I get excited thinking about what God is going to be doing in our lives this week, who he's going to put in our path, and who also we need to be put in the path of another for them to serve us. So be prepared and expectant this week. Well, let's pray together. And if you're comfortable, put your hands out, you know, just in that posture of receiving. Oh God, I just pray that we will serve you with open hands and open hearts. God, I pray that we would serve out of the great love that you have given to us. Jesus, you served us by giving your life for ours. You sacrificed your life for ours so that we could have eternal life and be forgiven. And so, Lord, may our service be just propelled from that reality that we are forgiven and set free, and we have so much love to give that comes straight from you. And so, Lord, would you empower us with the power from heaven, with your resurrection power, and enable us this week to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands ready to give, and feet ready to go. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.